Good afternoon, you will be listening to a tape broadcast from BBC Radio Newsreel concerning the President's speech on the United States attempted rescue of the hostages in Iran. After listening to the tape, I'll conclude with a commentary. We'll start the tape now.
Thank you.
most national issues.
It's the tensions in the world.
That have been caused among many nations as this crisis has continued. It was my decision to attempt the rescue operation. It was my decision to cancel it. From problems developed, the placement of a rescue team for a future rescue operation. The responsibility is fully my own. In the aftermath of the incidents, we continue to hold the government leader responsible for the safety and for the early release of the American hostages who have been held so long. The United States remains determined to bring about a safe release at the earliest date possible. Because of mechanical also my determination to persevere and to bring all of our hostages home to freedom. We have been disappointed with hope. We will not give up. Throughout this extraordinarily difficult period, we have pursued and will continue to pursue every possible avenue to secure the release of the hostages. In these efforts, the support of the American people and of our friends throughout the world has been a most crucial element. That support of other nations is even more important now. We will seek to continue, along with other nations and with the officials of Iran, a prompt resolution of the crisis without any loss of life and peaceful and diplomatic means. Thank you very much.
President of the United States, President Carter, speaking at this time to the American people about the rescue attempt in Iran. And here in London, in the studio, listening to President Carter's speech, is our diplomatic correspondent, Gordon Martin. Tony Dunn talks to him.
Gordon, the President is taking the blame quite clearly. What did you think of his explanation?
Of course, we have to remember that he is speaking to his own people, to the American people. And although it does leave many points unexplained, what is the technical fault that developed and so on, I myself could not fail find myself impressed by this courageous and even poignant attempt on the part of President Carter to take the whole blame. He would have taken the credit, of course, had the operation been a success, which it was not. But he said several times that he took the decision to make the attempt, he took the decision to cancel it. Of course, it is for him an especially bitter irony, perhaps, that the crash of the two aircraft occurred after he'd already taken that brave decision to call the mission off. I think that all those who heard him must be impressed by his honesty, and I'm sure that the American people, who are even literally now just waking up to what has happened during the night, will be likewise impressed and will give him that credit, whatever the effect on his political career.
He didn't make it clear from where the operation was launched. There was no mention of any of the logistics of Egypt or overflying other countries. A lot of questions like this remain to be answered. But do you think this first, as you say, courageous, taking the blame for a fiasco, will satisfy his Western allies?
I think it will. President Carter was careful to give thanks for the support already accorded by the Western allies to him, and he made a direct appeal for more support, which I think will be forthcoming. I think Lord Carrington, the British Foreign Secretary, who is travelling to Washington on Sunday, will carry such a message, and of course there will be the summit consultations of the 9 members of the European Community in Luxembourg next week. Already an indication of the mood, at least in Britain, has been given in the House of Commons by Lord Carrington's deputy, Sir Ian Gilmore, this morning, when he said, in effect, this is no time now to start griping, it is the time more than ever to stand together.
Yes, that's all right, but what about the other side of the world? What about the Russians? Do you think they'll now launch a massive diplomatic campaign to try and wall Iran into their own sphere of influence?
I think that attempt has already started. We've seen the initial reaction of the Soviet Foreign Minister, Mr. Gromyko, in Paris this morning. We have heard the first attack by Moscow Radio, I'm sure just the first of many,
Rob's
got it. Today to the embassy in Tehran and free hostages. When running away, two planes hit each other, caught fire, and crashed near Tabaz. Tabaz is in the desert, about 360 miles southeast of Tehran. An official of the Defense Ministry told the BBC that during the request of chase, the American aircraft dismantled. He also said wreckage had been found. We have no idea where the rest of the American force has gone. Thank you. the objective. There's little left for America to do, apart from what many Americans and many allies of America believe is the unthinkable. It is our experience there are.
And next in this specially extended radio newsreel covering the main developments of the American rescue operation in Iran, we hear from the wife of one of the American hostages. Mrs. Louisa Kennedy was in London when she heard the news of the American rescue attempt. Her husband's job was as a commercial advisor at the embassy in Tehran when he was establishing contacts with the Iranian government. Mrs. Kennedy was asked what effect she thought the failed American attempt would have on the situation for the 50 hostages.
How can we assume that an Iranian has been hurting in the way of this? I think what it will do is increase the uneasiness that security measures have seemed to play quite a large part in the way in which the hostages are held at the embassy. And I think the only thing that fits into the family may find in this is that further communication will become unusually hard. We have had anyway great difficulty having letters or communication on any kind of an ongoing regular basis. I mean, it's been spotty throughout the whole 6 months. I suspect that for the next week or couple of weeks, at least until there's a full explanation of all this, I don't think we'll even have letters.
Mrs. Kennedy was then asked if the American operation was not an act of recklessness.
I don't think a covert action mission of this kind is necessarily reckless. I think it's possibly the end product of what is happening in the United States at this time, which is impatience, a need for action of some kind. I think in a larger sense, something has to happen to ease the situation. The crisis in Iran. In our mind, the release of the hostages would do that. We have no feeling that Iran is about to release them of their own accord, and I imagine that it was decided to have a go at it.
Finally, Mrs. Kennedy was asked about the attitude of the family liaison group, FLAG, to military action.
I think that it's I've been asked that question a great deal about the press, and I find it a very insensitive question, anything about military action asked of the family members, because military action to us means that we don't have to have people home. Our first and primary objective on the part of FLAG, which is the organization I'm talking for here this morning, which is composed of members of the family, is to bring our people home.
From the Soviet Union. He came swiftly and sharply this morning with a statement in Moscow condemning the abortive mission as an armed provocation against the Islamic Republic of Iran. There have also been comments from the Soviet Foreign Minister, who's in Paris, and we'll bring you these shortly. First, here's a report from Michael Binion in Moscow.
Iran could rapidly get out of hand.
replied that no answer was necessary because the question was hypothetical. He refused to answer a question as to what the Soviet Union would do in similar circumstances. But he did say, in English, for the benefit of an American television crew, we condemn the American action. We don't think it can lead to a peaceful solution.
American attempt to rescue their hostages was the first topic to be discussed in Parliament in London this morning. A Deputy Prime Secretary, Sir Ian Gilmore, was closely questioned by MPs from all sides about how much the government knew of the dramatic move and whether Britain in fact supported it. In Parliament, where Sir Ian replied to detailed and lengthy questions, he was asked if he would make it plain that while Britain was aware of this particular operation, the government would not support any military action against Iran, and if he would invite the Soviet Union to join the cause for the release of the hostages. He was also asked if President Carter could be invited to attend the meeting of the European Heads of State in Luxembourg on Sunday. This was Sir Ian's reply.
Everybody, I think, would agree that the United States should show the utmost restraint. I think everyone would agree that over the last 2 months, the United States has shown the utmost restraint. And I think we want to do it, and I think the identification for exists between a rescue attempt, an attempt to rescue hostages on one hand, and military action against Iran on the other. I think that is a distinction which has endorsed.
I entirely agree with this. That is absolutely the biggest
American confrontation between the United States and European and other allies.
That is probably desirable. And I entirely accept that you might have the Soviet Union. I think the most unfortunate that the Soviet Union vetoed the United Nations resolution last year. If it hadn't done that, the problem might probably been solved long since, and it is probably wrong that the Soviet Union should not have done anything in their power to bring this grave breach of international law to an end. On the final point, about considering inviting President Carter to join the European Council, I should have actually done that with the paper. I suspect that the American President would want to say in Washington at this point. The European Council will no doubt be considering it on, but it also has a great deal to do with, of course, a meeting of the sort that the White House has suggested. It cannot be ruled out in the very near future.
Is it sure?
I think the European dispute will agree that the agency of the EU will be less than now, and that we are in a different stage of these dreadful and tragic events. Now, therefore, urge him very strongly to take out, at least to sound out others about the two suggestions. The one, aid of the Soviet Union, aid indirectly, of course, of the Tehran government, and also at least to consult the European heads of government to see whether such an invitation to the President of the United States would be acceptable to them and to him.
I entirely agree with what the right wing said about the urgency of this matter.
Deputy Foreign Secretary Sir Ian Gilmore replied to questions in the House of Commons in London this morning. In his address to the American nation, President Carter gave no details about where the operation was launched from. There's grand speculation that it began as an air base in Egypt. Although there's been no confirmation of this, our Cairo correspondent Bob Jobbins says that it seems increasingly possible.
There's no hard evidence as yet to back up the report that the American rescue mission took off from an airbase in Egypt, but for some months now, giant American AWACS, computerized communications and spy planes, have been flying out of an Egyptian base near Dinah in the south of the country. There have been reports recently of increased American military activity in Egypt, including reports of U.S. transport planes being seen at an airfield near Cairo. Sadat has repeatedly offered facilities to the United States, either to help defend a Gulf oil country under threat, or more significantly, to help rescue the American hostages in Tehran. And this was an offer he repeated earlier this month in a television interview during his visit to Washington. The Egyptian Prime Minister, Dr. Mustafa Khalil, said he could not comment on the report because he had no information on the situation. He said his personal opinion was that he doubted the authenticity of the reports, and he implied that the distances involved were too great to make such an operation feasible. observers here point out that the American C-130 transport, even loaded with helicopter and other equipment, could easily cover the 1,400 miles from Egypt to the Iranian desert area where it's believed the plane put down. The observers said that although Turkey would be closer, it would be politically more sensitive. And to cross the Iranian border from Turkey, the planes would have to fly within a dense Soviet radar screen along Iran's northern border. These military specialists thought the mission could have been launched from Egypt, but it would have meant getting Saudi permission to fly over Saudi airspace. Final clarification will have to await Mr. Carter's statement. And these observers point out that even if the planes left from Egypt, they would not have the range to return. And they say one solution would have been to fly direct to Oman. This would also mean that the planes would be able to receive air cover from fighters based on American aircraft carriers in the Gulf area. Egyptian Defense Minister General Khalil Hafnali, who returned to Cairo earlier this week after more than 1 month in the United States, where he received medical treatment before holding a series of talks with senior American officials, has indicated that he will issue a statement shortly. Bob Jordan, BBC Cairo.
And hello, Rebecca Fox from Bob Jordan in Cairo. We end this special extended edition of Radio Newsreel, which was devoted to the crisis over the failed United States rescue attempt in Iran.
There was rumor earlier today about A-6s and F-14s flying off the Nimitz and how the Nimitz was close enough to the Iranian border to see the land.
In reference to the president's speech, the president said it was his decision to cancel the rescue operation, and he also stated he will take total responsibility for the dilemma. He is holding the Iranian government responsible for the safety of the 50 American hostages and their quick release. Relatives of four U.S. Embassy hostages are fanned out across Europe today, trying to enlist the aid of friendly governments in working toward the captives' release. Gene Queen, whose son is the U.S. Vice Consul in Tehran, arrived this morning in Rome, where she says she'll try to see Italian government officials. Mrs. Queen says she's not representing any government, but she says she came to Rome to seek that solidarity that has always existed in difficult moments.